From KCRW, this is DNA Design and Architecture. I'm Frances Anderton. Do you have a 3D printer? Or a sewing machine? Or an old t-shirt and scissors? Any of those, and you may want to join the army of people that is making face masks at home for personal use or for backup for medical staff. Also, medical-grade masks can stay on the front lines where they are most needed. In a moment, we're going to hear from Danette Riddle. She's a sewer and she's a marketing expert, and she will explain just what is involved in making masks at a time when elastic and interfacing have become precious commodities.
Some of these standard materials that are so easily gotten have become like gold.
First, though, we're going to turn to Alvin Wang. He's an architect and he's graduate director of architecture at USC School of Architecture. He and colleagues heard about an open call that was put out at Cornell for 3D printed face shields. They wanted to do the same for doctors in the Southland at USC.
And we wanted to use our facilities there to do the 3D printing, but it turns out we had a couple complications, one being that the campus is on lockdown. The second is that the 3D printers that we have on site actually print the wrong material. So we can't use those machines. But what we did find, or what we did think of, is the fact that we've got a network of students and faculty, who many of which have 3D printers at home. So we put out an open call to our faculty and students to see who would be interested in joining the effort. And that effort kind of snowballed, and this was on Sunday morning when we started, and now less than a week later, we're up to somewhere over 100 3D printers in 80 different locations scattered throughout Southern California, and 3 laser cutters, 200 something plus rolls of filament, and it's growing, and we've got the mayor's office involved. We're working with USC Keck Medical. We're working with the Viterbi School of Engineering, Ivine Young Academy, as well as students from SciArc, students from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and many, many, many firms, including Michael Malton Architects, KAA, Gruen Associates, Brooks Scarpa, not to mention many, many others. And AIA LA is involved now. AIA California is involved with donating materials, and it's really kind of skyrocketed, and it's been amazing to see the kind of ground-up community support we're getting.
And what exactly are people making?
So one of the difficulties has been streamlining all of these products into approved products only. Like, I think if you go online right now and look for open source 3D print files to print medical supplies for PPE, there's like something like 6,000 files available, 6,000 different files available. We are only printing Keck Medical approved files. So we have exactly one face shield design and exactly one pseudo N95 mask that we're printing. So we are printing one protective face shield, which is a frame which wraps around your forehead. And then on top of that, you attach a clear PETG shield that would cover the eyes and the face. And then we are printing one pseudo N95 mask, which is a three-part mask, which basically has a mask which covers your nose and your mouth, and then there is a cap and a bracket at the back, which allows you to insert a HEPA fabric filter inside of that. And so that then gets attached with a weather strip to seal the perimeter, which you can find at Home Depot. And then the HEPA filter, we're actually using HEPA vacuum bag filters that you can cut up and insert inside.
What is a pseudo N95 mask? What's pseudo about it?
That it is not officially N95. I think it has to be said that all of the material that we're producing is not true medical grade. They are approved and tested by USC Keck. They've passed numerous tests, but they are not true medical grade. So we want to make sure we're not saying that these are the actual medical equipment that people should be using. And if health professionals have the true equipment, they should be using the true equipment, not ours. What we've been advised by Keck is that this is what they are calling wartime medicine. And in wartime medicine, you need to have a backup to your backup, and that the gear that we're producing would be a step above using a handmade fabric mask or bandanas or socks, which I guess is probably one of the more motivating things anybody's ever said to me, is the fact that these doctors are actually planning scenarios where they might be using bandanas and socks.
So if there's around 100 people working on this and they've all got a digital printer at home, how many masks can be generated out of this? Like, how many masks can be printed in a day?
So that is part of the effort that we're in right now in terms of trying to figure out what our production capabilities are. And some of that has been trying to streamline the settings on the 3D printers, because at the moment, our original tests ranged between 8 and 5 hours per mask. We've gotten it down to about 3 hours per mask. But that also depends on the individual's printer, as well as the fact that these printers are not exactly all, let's say, 100% fail safe. So we have, you know, we do run into issues with failed prints, things of that nature. And so we're also looking into other means of production. The laser cutting of the shields has proved to be much slower than expected. So we're trying to find people who have roll die cutters. The roll die cutters would allow us to produce those shields exponentially far greater rates. The mayor's office is working on putting together a call to kind of organize and mobilize the manufacturing capabilities of Los Angeles. And also the manufacturing and fabrication capabilities of what we're doing, which is the architectural community and the design community, where we're traditionally using these things for making models and maquettes and prototypes and things of that nature. But now all of those things can be put into play in a medical sense.
In terms of what exactly is involved, to 3D print a plastic face visor, mask, shield, how exactly is it printed? Do you have a spool of plastic thread or?
So a 3D printer is essentially a, I would say, glorified hot glue gun rather than, it heats up spools of filament, plastic filament, which extrude and are run through an extruder. That extruder heats it to a certain temperature, usually about 200 degrees Celsius. At 200 degrees Celsius, you have a CNC-controlled robotic gantry, which then moves and pivots the extruder to various positions and deposits material onto a bed. And then as it's building, it's basically slicing horizontally and building vertically. So it deposits horizontal layers and then just keeps stacking those layers again and again and again.
You said it can take around 3 hours to print one of these masks, and that speeded up from it was even longer than that. So realistically, how much do you think this effort can contribute to the needs of medical staff?
We are still trying to figure out what our production capabilities are right now. We are, at this point, we've produced a little bit over 100 masks. We're probably like 105 masks. I would say the first 2 or 3 days of this effort was more mobilization and testing and a lot of failed prints. I think we're just now starting to get the ball rolling. We are also trying to coordinate with Keck and LAC, USC, Children's Hospital, LA, MLK, Willowbrook Hospital, and Watts to try to understand what the requirements or necessities are in terms of whether the masks are more important or the shields are more important, and which sizes we should be printing. There are 2 sizes to the masks. We've currently been advised that there's the medium and a large. There's a 2-to-1 ratio between the medium and the large. We're still in the early stages of trying to figure out what our capabilities are.
And you all are doing this while many of you are also keeping your architecture practices afloat. And to keep your architecture practices afloat, some of you would actually be using your 3D modeling printing machines. So how are you kind of keeping everything going?
I've been, since Sunday, I've been working 18-hour days every day. I'm trying to balance between my efforts on this front, between my efforts as director of the Graduate School of Architecture at USC, which we're currently recruiting and admitting students for next semester, not knowing if we're going to have any students given the current condition. We're also continuing. I'm also continuing to teach. I still have my students at USC, which we're doing our online distance learning, as well as my architectural practice, synthesis design and architecture. So I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for myself that the one blessing in all of this, because of the social distancing, is that I can literally do all of those roles, including being a parent and a husband from one room. But I can't say that there is still enough time in the day to do all of them.
But you are saving on your commute, so you're getting a bit of extra time.
Right, and reducing my carbon footprint. And I would say, you know, as a long-term Angeleno, born and raised in, well, not born, but raised in this city, I think it's been a real pleasure and a surprise to see just how beautiful our sky can be if there's a few weeks of us not doing anything, which really highlights the impact we've had in the last 2,000 or so years of infecting this place.
Well, Alvin Wang, it's really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Francis. It's been a pleasure as always.
I'm Francis Anderton, and this is the DNA Podcast. So you just heard about 3D printing of masks. Now let's turn to sewing and to Danette Riddle.
My day job is marketing for a design firm. I've been sewing since I was 11. And as soon as the mask making effort took hold, I was excited to jump in and use my hobby for the greater good.
You really dove in, Danette. And since you started, how many masks have you sewn yourself?
So far, I have made about 85.
What are your masks made of?
I am using quilting cottons because I'm a quilter, quilting is my hobby. So I'm using 100% cotton, quilting cottons. And then I'm also using an interfacing to give an added protection layer in the mask.
Now, what if people would like to sew their own masks or sew for others, but they don't have the interfacing and they don't have the quilting fabric and there isn't a material store nearby that's open? What would you recommend people use to make a mask?
Well, it's interesting you ask because it's been sort of a funny situation that some of these standard materials that are so easily gotten have become like gold. Interfacing is hard to find. You can't get it. Elastic, quarter inch elastic to use for ear loops has become quite a prized commodity. It's hard to get a hold of. But there are things you can use. In fact, Cambridge University did a study and looked at materials, and you can find this online. They concluded that 100% cotton t-shirts and cotton tea towels in two layers are actually the best materials to use for face masks and for homemade face masks. And you can also use sheets. So I think you want a tight weave. You wouldn't want gauze or something like that. But, you know, a tighter woven cotton that you have in your home actually could be used.
Are you using a sewing machine or are you hand sewing?
I am using a sewing machine. For those making them for themselves at home, there are other things that you can do that don't require a sewing machine.
Like what?
Well, for example, I just tested this out. You can take a t-shirt. I grabbed a large t-shirt out of my drawer and cut the sleeves out, both sleeves, because two layers is good. And you can just pull that cut sleeve up over your head onto your neck and then pull it up over your nose and you're done. You don't even have to sew.
Oh, that's brilliant, because the sleeve is the good shape.
Exactly. So it's a little bit, you know, I mean, it sits on your neck like a cowl, but then you just pull up both of those sleeves. You know, they kind of curl around each other and you just pull it up over your nose and mouth. And it's comfortable because it's nice and soft, especially if you've got a t-shirt you've worn a little bit and have it nice and laundered and ready to go.
Just say you do have the sewing machine and you do know how to sew, and you may have some elastic in the house, perhaps even some interfacing. Sort of, what's the process? What's the process of putting together a mask? Are you downloading a pattern that's approved by a hospital, or are you making up a pattern?
Yes. Well, I've done both, actually. I'm using a pattern that was posted by 1millionmasks.org. And that was one of the early starters of the Make Masks at Home movement. And using their pattern, it's pretty simple. You cut a rectangle. The size I'm using is 15 by 10. You cut a rectangle, you fold it in half because you want two layers. If you want to insert interfacing, obviously you just sew that into half of that rectangle. And I do want to clarify that if you don't have interfacing, you could use a square from a sheet if you wanted to insert something you have around and just have that extra protection layer. Or even, you know, you could cut a tea towel and use that if you want that. For most of us, probably the two layers is going to be okay for what we're needing them for. And you stitch that up, you insert your elastic. And again, the quarter inch elastic is a bit hard to find right now, but people are using the long size hair ties, which you can just loop in or stitch in. And you can also use the stretchy band hair ties, and easily found still and available at drugstores. There are also ways that you can attach ribbons, or, you could use a shoelace. There are several other things that you can use, so you don't have to worry about the hard to find materials. Anyway, you stitch that up and you've got your face mask. It's quite simple. It can take you anywhere from 15 minutes to 20 minutes to make one.
Do you have to put in pleats so that the face mask can follow the curve of the face a bit?
You do. So some people are doing that, some people are not, if they're keeping it simple.
Danette, are you finding any time to do your marketing work?
Yes. So I do this. Probably most people right now are having some difficulty sleeping. Most of my friends are, I know. And so I'm sewing. I wake up around 3:30 a.m. It's just the way I'm waking up right now. And I will sew before my day job starts, which normally conference calls start as early as 6 o'clock for my East Coast colleagues. And I work a full day. And then some, and then I'll sew at night again. And then I sew as much as possible on the weekends.
Are you adding a design swirl to your masks?
Well, I think it's hard to say I'm not, given I work for a design group, and I've learned over 30 years of working in architecture that details matter, and I've become just as obsessive as my colleagues. So I have a fabric collection based on my quilting. So I'm choosing my most favorite fabrics because I feel like that's just a little bit piece of my heart I can put in for the caregivers out there. And also, I just love beautiful fabrics, and I make them to be long lasting. So they are very well stitched, I would say.
Well, Danette Riddle, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
You too, Francis, and good luck to everyone. Stay healthy. And if you want to make masks for yourselves or others, it's really great. It feels good to try to do something to help everyone.
That was Danette Riddle. I'm Frances Anderton. Thank you very much for listening to the DNA podcast. If you're interested yourself in mask making, go to the DNA website for more details and links. And please stay tuned and stay well.